promotion day and these students going into, some of them into a different class, and we pray, Father, your blessing on each one of those classes. And now for ours, we pray, Father, that you would lead and direct and bring to us that which we each as an individual need. In Jesus' name, amen. When God created Adam, the Bible tells us that he created man in his own image. There's also the verse that says he created them male and female, so that when the term man is used, it frequently is in the generic sense or broad sense that includes a woman. It's mankind that has been created. But this means that man is capable, because we're created in the image of God, to do many things that God does. Now, obviously there's limits. You all are well aware of that. But we can love, we can hate. We can be happy, we can be sad. We can create, and we can destroy. We can teach, we can provide, we can protect, and more such things that God does that we can do. Now, obviously, there's things that God does that we can't do. And our being created in his image only indicates where we are and, in a sense, what we are. When God created man, he gave some basic responsibility. Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And here's the rest of it. Male and female created he them. And so when he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and that includes females, that includes women too. Now, I'm speaking, what many of the things that I'll be saying are applicable to women. But because the theme of the message is the men of our church, the men of our church, because that's the theme, I'll be saying man, men, okay? Not to the exclusion of women, but if I were dealing with a subject of women, then the men would be left out. And so I hope you understand that. Down through the ages, as is revealed in the pages of Scripture, God has made the male species of mankind to bear chief responsibilities here in the world. And that's a significant thing. Yes, man has authority. Man is the leader in a husband-wife relationship. Man. But with all of those men things, goes responsibility. Adam was first created and placed in the Garden of Eden, and he was told to take care of it. Then afterward, Eve was created as Adam's completer. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast. We know he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. But here, this verse lets us know that he formed the animals and every creeping thing out of the ground. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And of course, he named them. Now, I do not, it's just a personal opinion, but I do not think, you know, in the study of animals and fish and all that, they have, I'm going to say, scientific names. And so you have the species Orungititis, okay? The species Orungititis is talking about whatever. You say, well, what is it? I don't know. I don't think there is a species Orungititis. You just say, there's the name, a technical scientific name for that species. I don't think when they came before Adam looked at the horses and whatever their species name is, you know, in science. I don't think that's what he said they were. Did he say these are horses? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it says he named them. There was some way in which he made a title for them, a term, a name for them, because he was supposed to name them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, which is interesting when he says all cattle, not just what all went under the term cattle. Okay? It doesn't tell us here, and it may indicate that elsewhere in the scriptures, but that wasn't the theme of my preparation, so I can't answer that. But the name he gave to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So these animals came, and there was a male and a female, and a male and a female. But for Adam, it was only male. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of Adam of his ribs. See, everything else was made out of the dust of the earth, but the woman was made out of a rib from Adam, and her role and responsibility, we are told, was to be a helpmeet. And my understanding is that carries the idea of a completer. Adam was not complete being alone. He needed a partner, God said, and help meet. And now the point again that I want us to remember today is that man is responsible. He is not complete alone, but he has the responsibility within a marital relationship, within the home, the family, okay? Within the government, we'll take that at all levels, local government, regional, state, and federal. Man has the responsibility of leadership. Now, in our day that we're living, what I have just taught you in these last 7-8 minutes, it does not fit in with the emphasis and approach and teaching regarding a woman can do anything that a man can do. A woman can replace a man. As a matter of fact, I don't remember if it's one of the big crowd of Democratic candidates, okay, that's running around the country, because it was said in a news report. And so I don't know if it was about a candidate or just another report, but it had to do with the fact that really we can be eliminated, men. We can be eliminated. That the woman is able to do everything. Man is not needed. And, you know, the only thing I could think of, well, how long is that going to last? You know, a couple of generations, and they'll realize, oops, this was a mistake. Now we don't have any of them around anymore. And you know, the responsibility that man places. Now, no doubt, without question, man as a whole has abused, misused his, not just his responsibility, but he has neglected his responsibility. In society as a whole, man has neglected his responsibility. But he has abused his place of authority. And good night, you know, just like this Epstein thing and the child abuse and the child abuse that goes on in the industry of child abuse today, it's unimaginable. And it's becoming more public. We're made more aware of it. And we should be, so that it can be dealt with. But man is what I'm looking at. So, man is responsible. I'm going to do several things. I think it's three or four of them. Number one, man is responsible for his personal salvation. The eternal destiny of an individual soul is something that must be dealt with, and only man can deal with it. Religion isn't something that man can leave to their wives. I have heard, and very many pastors have heard, when talking to a man, well, that's all right, I appreciate you coming out, Reverend, but I leave religion to the little lady. I leave religion to the little lady. In other words, he's neglecting his responsibility. And he can't leave religion, okay? His personal salvation must be dealt with by himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever includes the man. And then a man, when we would think of as a Christian man, it is his responsibility for his personal holiness, for his godliness. Again, that cannot be delegated to the wife. That cannot be, put off and, well, you take care of taking the children. And what he's saying is, I want to live my life my way. You take care of the children. You do this, you do that. No, man is responsible for his salvation and is responsible for his personal holiness. Now, tied in with much of what I've been saying is the second point, and that is family. Man is responsible for the family. Every man has the duty before God to provide for his family. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so it is man's responsibility to provide for his house. Now, I realize there are conditions and situations that can come into play, and it's been true in every century, every time period. If a man was, for example, out working in the woods, he was using horses, he didn't have a chainsaw, he had a two-man saw. So, you know, here you got the setting. When he went home, he didn't turn on a light switch, he lit a kerosene lamp. So it's what I'm about to say is true in every age. And if that man out there in the woods was involved in an accident and it took his legs, now he's not going to be able to provide for his house. Not in the same way he has been, and definitely, even though doing something else, this man in my illustration has no legs, now he's disabled. And so he can't do what he once did. He can't provide for example. And so it is today. Now in our day, we have disability. And we have programs whereby that man can get help. I don't believe that man who's disabled and not able to work, I don't mean he's a third generation reliever. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who would like to work and can't work because of disabilities. I don't believe that person is breaking verse 8, okay? Whatever he can do, he should do. And maybe it's something that he'd do sitting at a workbench. Maybe it's something he'd do with what capacity he has. But the point is, man is responsible for the family. Now, we live in a time, and it's interesting to look back in history. It's interesting to hear people who deal with this sort of thing. It's interesting to hear them deal with it. Today, it's so common to have two working. The wife and the man work. Now, and again, I don't like to sweep with too broad a brush. And so let me take a narrower brush, okay? And point out that there's some situations where what the man can earn just isn't enough, and she has to work. In all ages, there were times when the wife went out and cleaned houses, or she took in laundry, or she did child care because the man just wasn't able to earn enough, and therefore she would go to work. But the interesting one that I said was when you get to people who deal with this sort of thing, and that is, when did women go into the labor force? When was it that being a mother and a wife and the care of the home, when was that set aside and preempted? Okay? And many look to World War II and Rosie the Riveter. Okay, the government needed people to provide for the war effort, and hence many women went into the labor force at that point, more so than at any other point previously, though there have always been women in the labor force. I mean, you go back and Lydia, when Paul went to, where was Lydia from? And she was a seller of purple.
Bithynia.
Bithynia, yeah. Okay, he was there. And Lydia was a seller of purple. She was a business lady. And so you can't, like I say, with a broad brush sweep and say, no woman ever ought to work. I don't think that's right to do.
That's right.
But at the same time, I don't think it's right to say that every woman ought to work. And that creates other conditions within our society and within our homes as Christians. I remember, dear lady, she's in heaven now. And she worked out. She was a professional lady. And she worked out. And I remember when she had become a friend of Pat. And when she lamented that she didn't stay at home and raise her children herself. Her mother did it. It was the best of situations, okay, in that her mother did it. But she began to realize, I should have done it. And she missed out. And that was troublesome to her, and these things perpetuate themselves. Then she became, because by the time it was needed, she was retired, she became the babysitter of her son's children because her daughter-in-law worked out, you see? And so, like I say, I don't like in dealing with some subjects to deal in such a broad, general way that everyone, anyone sitting there feels attacked or condemned because there was no consideration made for the conditions or circumstances that would not exempt them as a person, but their situation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because when I read my Bible, I don't read through the Bible in the typical manner. All right? And I read my scriptures. And I read through the Bible, but not in a typical manner. And therefore, when an emphasis is being made on reading through the Bible, I always sit there, you know, can anybody, I think Pastor said, how would we like if our life were flashed up in a screen and everybody saw it, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I don't hope this is when that happens. Because everybody will see that I'm not doing it the way it's being presented and the way maybe 80% of the people that are there do it. And and yet, you see, definitely we ought to feel convicted about not reading the Bible. And often that is the actual emphasis, well, you're supposed to read the Bible. And of course, the reading through the Bible in the typical manner gets many people into the scriptures in a deliberate and organized manner, which is a good goal to achieve and accomplish. All right, family. Now, boy, how did I get there from providing for your own house? So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, I dealt with that in prayer meeting. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. And in Colossians, it said that they will have anger with their family, with their parents. Don't cause disrespect for parental authority by how punishment is meted out. Now, do you notice I said punishment? I didn't say discipline. Because as soon as we say discipline, everybody thinks of punishment. But discipline, the primary emphasis of discipline is discipling. And the reason punishment is given for an offense is so that that child can be molded in the right way or directed in the right manner of living. Okay, and so we're discipling. Sometimes punishment is needed as we endeavor to train children, to conform them. How many times have you heard somebody say, boy, he learned a good work ethic? I don't know where he got it, but he learned a good work ethic. He was discipled. That's in right. Working. Okay, and every one of our children, yet to this day, has daily devotions. They have their Bible they open and read, and they have their prayer time. Okay, last I knew, all right, if anybody talked to any of them and find out they backslid, I didn't know it. But, and you know where they got that? They were discipled in that by their mother. Now, how did she do that? Did she lecture them? Nope, she didn't lecture them, and I guarantee you she didn't force it on them. That's not her way. And so what did she do? She would remind, first of all, they'd see her sitting and reading her Bible. And then if it was prayer time, she'd say, now I'm going to go in my bedroom and I'm going to have prayer time. I'll be out when I'm done. Sometimes she'd just sit in the living room, and while she was reading her Bible, she'd bow her head and pray for whatever she was prompted to think of at that time. But then she would tell the children, now did you read your Bible today? Well, no. Well, you ought to take time to read your Bible. Now, she didn't tell him, well, go in your room and read your Bible. You don't want to grow up and be a heathen, do you?
No, she just said, well, you need to make time and to read your Bible. And she would just remind them, and don't forget to pray. Did you pray for Mrs. So-and-so yet? Okay, like if we were here and our children were here, she'd probably say something like, did you pray for Mrs. Colton? Remember she was having surgery on Thursday? Sometimes they'd give an answer, sometimes they didn't. Her point was to remind them to pray for people. It also helped them to know what to pray for, how to pray. And so this is important that, and the man has responsibility. Now, what did I just say? I just said what usually happens. I should have been doing that in the home. But I said, my wife, Pat, she did that. You see, I was in the wrong in that sort of thing. Why? Because I left that to the little lady. I was out busy saving the world. If it were not for Pat, I have no idea where our children would be.
God bless her.
Because they did not get from me, in that respect, what they should have. And so, but what I'm saying is, men, this is our responsibility. Now, there's a sense in which it's too late for me. My kids are grown. My grandchildren are grown. Good night. Even my great-grandchildren are getting up there. I ought to die soon. I'm getting so old.
Hey, now.
Amen.
Hey, now.
And so, but those of you that are young enough, some of you don't even have children yet, but you will, and this is something you need to know and you need to do. I don't think golfing, as an illustration, fits into our church. Okay, I don't think we have a group. I don't think it would be a successful event if we planned for a Black Creek Baptist Golf Day. but anyway, you need. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care what it is. If it's hunting, if it's fishing, if it's sports. Oh, good night. I've been hearing Thursday night it begins. NFL Thursday night. Okay, you set your watch, set your calendars. You know, Thursday night it begins. Maybe it's to give up watching a game to do something. Maybe it's just a matter of interrupting watching a game to be able to take the kids into the room and have prayer with them before they go to bed and tuck them in. Oh, well, my wife does that. That's what I'm saying. My wife does all this stuff. And there isn't, I feel absolutely confident in saying this, there isn't a wife but what they would love to have their husbands involved in this sort of thing. Now, they better start slow. Okay, because you start too fast and she's going to feel like you're trying to horn in on her area. You delegated this to me and now you're trying to tell me how to do it or run it. Okay, so got to go slow on some of that. I don't have time left for that. I got to share this though. This was out of the Olean Times Herald a good number of years ago. It took place in Olean at a McDonald's there. It's a man who was there, saw this happen, and he wrote into the editor. I was sitting in McDonald's, and two women came in with their children, of which the youngest were about 5 years old. This little girl did everything from screaming for no apparent reason, to standing on the furniture, to climbing the partitions to play with the display of balloons. All this with her mom doing and saying nothing to correct her behavior. Then this little girl insisted that her mom get her some balloons. So her mom calmly pulled down one from the display and gave it to her. Then the little girl wanted another one. So she climbed on the partition, almost falling, and took another one, and her mom still did nothing. Now I know that some people wouldn't consider taking some balloons from a display stealing, but this little girl learned a lot that day. With some screaming and pestering her mom, she will get her anything she wants, and that taking something is easier than buying it. And mother, the guy's writing, when your little girl is 13 or 14, don't blame her when you get the phone call saying, please come down to the station and get your daughter. We caught her shoplifting, stealing. Okay? And so this was an illustration in the point regarding discipline. Okay? This little girl was not discipled, and she definitely wasn't being punished. Okay? And so I have more to say. I probably ought to keep these notes out and share more on this matter next time I teach. All right? And I'll do that.
Pastor?
It's not a, yes.
Finish that up next Sunday.
Next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
You sure?
Finish that up here. Yep. I mean,
okay.
Finish up right here. That's good. We're trying.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. We're going to look next week. Then we'll start with the church, man and the church.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Father in heaven, I do pray you'd help us to, or to take to heart these things, especially the younger men, that they won't have to live with the regrets that I live with. And I